You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and Fan Rack Sports, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip-Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. Cover the NBA at large for FanSided and FanRag Sports. And you can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRamil13. Just a reminder that today's show is sponsored by Draft. Use the promo code LOHEAT, that's LOHEAT, and get a free entry after you make your first deposit. And check out our Twitter account at LockedOnHeat for instructions on how you can join our league and play against us during tonight's slate of games.
The trade deadline is coming up. It's February 8th, and to prepare for it, David and I are going to do a two-part Miami Heat trade deadline preview. So this is the first part that we're getting into today. We're going to set the table, so to speak, discuss where the Heat are at as far as their assets and their cap situation goes. And then in the second part, we're going to use that information by going crazy with fake trade ideas, and that's going to come out tomorrow. So you have that to look forward to. But let's jump right into part one here. We're going to talk about where the Heat are as far as their cap and draft picks and just sort of the resources they have available to them. So currently the Heat are over the cap, but they have plenty of room, about $16 million until they reach the luxury tax apron this season. So that's the luxury tax is not an issue for the Heat right now. So hypothetically and theoretically, they could make a move to take on extra salary. And as long as they're matching salary, they're not going to be looking to shed salary to save money at the end of this year, right? And there's some teams in the NBA who might be in that position. The Heat aren't. They will be in that position, however, this summer and next season, because at that point, the Heat are already $19 million over the cap next year with only 12 players under contract. Keep in mind, that's no Wayne Ellington. That's without Udonis Haslam, two players that they're going to want to bring back. Haslam especially, they're going to want to bring back at the minimum. Wayne Ellington's a little bit more iffy. So $19 million over the cap, $2.8 million before hitting the luxury tax apron. So if they're already $19 million over the cap at 12 players, just to fill out the rest of that roster, they're going to be hitting the luxury tax apron. That is going to be a major theme as we go through part one and part two of this trade deadline preview. The Heat can save room by refusing Jordan Mickey's team option that's worth about $1.6 million next year and Roddy Magruder's non-guaranteed contract. We'd hate to see that, but his deal is at $1.5 million. If it came to it, they could not guarantee that deal and save $1.5 million if that's what it took to get under that apron at the end of the day. And then just to kind of wrap this up, draft picks, obviously, we've talked about this a lot. They can't trade a first-rounder until 2022 or a second-round pick until 2023. And that's the first rounders because of the Stepien rule. The Heat do have a pick in 2019 and 2021, but they can't trade them because you can't trade back-to-back picks in the first round. And they've traded all of their second-round picks until 2023. Looking forward, the Heat can buy second-round picks, but you can't trade second-round picks you don't have right now. And then as far as exceptions for this year, the Heat still have their $4.3 million room exception that they haven't used. We talked about that a lot during the summer. And we talked about that in regards to we both thought that the Heat and Pat Riley would save that room exception for the buyout market. So they're going to have that available to them. They're also going to have the $5.5 million disabled player exception. They don't have that yet, but we expect them to get that after applying for it because Deion Waiters is going to miss the rest of the season. We expect that they're going to have then those two exceptions. Keynote, you cannot total those exceptions together to make one big mega exception. So you have one separate one worth 4.3, another separate one worth 5.5. You can use both of them to get two separate players. To do that, the Heat would have to clear roster spots.
Yeah. So not exactly an overwhelmingly positive outlook on the cap situation there. They're certainly hamstrung by a lot of expensive deals, but it's not exactly bleak. There's slight wiggle room for the Heat to maneuver in this season. Obviously, next season is next year, so I don't think there's any concerns about that. I think any deals that they would make would be with their eye on this season as the prize. Like, this is I think Pat Riley, if they were to engage in anything, it would be about making the most of the season, given how Miami has been able to be successful. Now, this of course, in between the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline, assuming that Miami is able to continue their recent bout of winning. If they go on a seven-game losing streak, all of a sudden slip further down the Eastern Conference standings, and it seems much less likely that they'll finish within the top four seeds, I would expect them to shift their focus a little bit. But for now, I think it's about acquiring a key player that could contribute this year and not so much about alleviating any kind of cap situation for next season.
And I'm going to agree with you just with the added caveat that they're not going to take on a dumb contract, even if that player can play next year, right? They're not going to take on a contract that's going to look bad this summer or next summer that they're going to have to part with an asset or something to get rid of to get under that luxury tax. Because one thing we know is that this team is not going to pay the luxury tax, you know? So as long as I don't see them shedding salary to avoid the luxury tax next year, like you're saying. And if they do add a key piece, it's probably going to be a guy on an expiring deal. Right. I could see them really playing out the buyout market with one of these exceptions, if not both. Maybe trying to, when the trade deadline comes around, shed some of these lower, like just literally just roster spots. Like maybe part with an AJ Hammonds for literally nothing, or get rid of an O'Carroll White for literally nothing back in return. I'm not sure what teams would want those players. And Miami doesn't have draft picks to give back as compensation for doing that. But if the Heat can somehow figure that out, and then use some of those player, those roster spots to maybe bring aboard a Derek Jones Jr. on a full contract, or if not, you know, go after that those buyout guys. Marco Bellinelli, I think.
Yeah,
could
you
help
and
this
I
team.
Disagree whether Miami is still an attractive destination for any kind of buyout candidates. I just don't see it, to be honest with you. This
well, for a guy who's gonna a guy who's otherwise out of a job, like why not?
Because
I'm
think
talking about, like I'm not saying like Joe Johnson, you know what I mean, like where he purposely got forced to buy out and took less money to go play in Miami. I'm just talking about like just a dude who could play.
Well, he didn't force his way out of Brooklyn so he could play for Miami. He forced his way out of Brooklyn because Brooklyn wasn't playing well, and he chose between a number of suitors. But at that point in time, Miami had Chris Bosh, they had Luol Deng, they had Goran Dragic.
But you don't think that they could get like just a guy? Like you don't think like if Marco Bellinelli was out there that he would sign Miami? Like we don't know what else obviously is on his table, but like you think he'd rather be unemployed?
I don't think he can keep cashing. He's going to get paid regardless. I think he'd rather join a franchise that he has some connection to, say San Antonio or somebody who's a much more likely title contender than Miami. I don't know that you want to go to a potentially middling Heat team. You know, even if you wind up with a four seed in the Eastern Conference, there's no way that they're going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, or there's no way that they're going to the NBA Finals.
I know, but like for just a dude, that's what I'm like. I'm just saying, just a guy, not like a difference maker, but just a guy who can play a role on the team, just like. Because if you're, again, I keep using Marco Bellinelli because he's the guy that everybody thinks is going to get bought out.
Yes. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But I think he'd play a great role on this team. You know, the Heat rely on Wayne Ellington all the time for three-point shooting. They could use another one. They can use another three-point shooter who's not Wayne Ellington. And let's just say hypothetically Bellinelli gets bought out by the Hawks or whatever team he gets traded to and gets bought out, and he's just out there. He's still, yes, going to make his own money, but then he can make an additional $2 to $4 million or something like that, just to be on the Heat for the rest of the season and just play. I think he would do it. Like
a guy like Bellinelli who's, you know, towards the end of his career, I think he'd want to lay the groundwork for a team that might want to bring him back next season. And because of Miami's cap situation, if they're not going to be able to bring back Wayne Ellington, I don't see any way that we're going to bring back Marco Bellinelli. So I just don't see it. Again, maybe that's a specific case as far as Bellinelli. Yeah. But like even Joe Johnson. Like Joe Johnson signed here as an impending free agent. He had, you know, there was a lot of reasons for him to sign with Miami, not the least of which was Dwayne Wade. And then he was hoping that Miami would be able to bring him back and kind of keep this whole thing together. Obviously, it didn't work out. Dwayne Wade left. The whole thing fell apart. But I think he was signing here with the intention of re-signing here if Miami had been able to or willing to kind of throw the kind of money that he wound up getting from Utah. But
yeah, Utah gave him that insane deal. All right, well, we'll agree to disagree on the buyout thing. We're here to talk about trades, and we're going to talk next about Miami's most tradable assets. But first, fantasy basketball fans, you're going to want to listen for this. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try our new favorite fantasy app. It's called Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like the other guys. Draft was launched in 2014 with the idea that the draft is the best part of playing fantasy. The only problem is that you only get to draft once in your season-long leagues. A traditional daily fantasy can be intimidating. That's not the case with Draft. On Draft, you play with a live snake draft. There's no salary cap, and you play with other people. Plus, there's no multi-entry or player overlap, so you don't have to worry about those pros gaming the system. Draft is designed to make fantasy sports simple, fair, and fun. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night. All you have to do is pick a draft, and then you begin. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. Here's my favorite part. After the draft, there's little to no lineup management. Just set it and forget it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. And, of course, you play for cash. Drafts start from just $1, and they go up from there, so there's a draft for everybody. Again, no salary cap. Live snake draft. No losses because you forgot to make a sub for an injured player at the last minute. Draft leans into the best part of fantasy sports, and you can play whenever you want. You can play today. Join Draft. Download the app. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com. For a limited time, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. Here comes the promo code. LO Heat. Play a free game to win a real money by using the promo code LO Heat on your first deposit. Okay, so we're going to talk about who on the Heat is most likely to get traded and least likely to get traded later on. But first, let's talk about these assets. The Heat re-signed a lot of their own players to lucrative deals this last summer. We know that. Some now seem like a bargain. Kelly Olynyk. Others don't. Dion Waiters. And so the Heat, I think, even just after about half of a season, have a better grip on who their best trade assets are, right? And if we believe the reports, David, that – and just, I guess, the general belief in the reading of the tea leaves that leads you to believe this, that the Heat sort of signed this team and these players back with the intention to sort of package them together for maybe a bigger all-star type guy that still seems like it could happen. And we're going to obviously in part two talk about those sort of trades, but let's just sort of kind of get a litmus test on where these guys now stand as of today. I think Miami's most valuable trade asset is Wayne Ellington. And yeah. I say that because he's not their best player, but because he's on an expiring contract on a really easy deal, like a $6.2 million deal that's really digestible for any team to get, especially a contending team who can use a guy like him who could just heat up. And obviously a 3-point shooter who spaces the floor for them. I think Wayne Ellington is could be a really good player that the Heat could sell this deadline.
Yeah, he's got the most immensely marketable skill, which is long range shooting. There's no team that can't use an extra 3-point shooter. I mean, even a team as gifted as the Golden State Warriors could use some added shooting, because even a guy like Nick Young is somewhat inconsistent coming off the bench. So as much 3-point shooting as they have in their starting lineup, I don't think anybody's going to say, you know what, we've got enough already. Thanks. We already gave it the office. But I think with Ellington, again, with the cheap deal, the fact that it's expiring, it's instant offense for a short term deal, no major commitment. So the question is what you'd have to give up in order to acquire him. But I think, yeah, you're absolutely right. Ellington is definitely the Heat's best asset.
I'd wonder what they're going to – or what they would move him – like what would it take? Because you're right, what you said earlier, I don't think that the Heat are going to take a step back just to shed salary, right? They're focused on – they believe that they can compete this season. That's very clear. So if you're going to move Wayne Ellington, who has been so important – to this team, I think it would have to be like a two-move thing where you would move Wayne Ellington to get back something very valuable, like something that the Heat would be stupid not to take back, right?
It could be a three-team trade where you move like Ellington to a contender who could use that kind of offense, and then the third team being a rebuilding team who might be willing to part with a superstar talent-level player who might be who just might not be happy with that particular team, or maybe needs a change.
So Ellington sort of mixed into other contracts and other names.
Yeah, I'd say so.
What if somebody came up to them with a first round pick that they don't have next year, maybe there's somebody in this draft that Miami just loves, right? And they just know that they're not going to have the pick to get there. Mm. Maybe they'd say, and hey, look, like you said before, what if this team kind of stumbles through these next few games, right? Because we're doing this preview a little early. It's not until February 8th. What if they stumble the next couple of weeks and they say, look, let's be real here. We're not going to win the championship, and we're not going to be able to bring back Wayne Ellington because we don't have the cap space to do it. Let's cut bait now and at least try to get something back in return here. And if they do that, maybe you get a first round pick. And then again, not to, you know, at the risk of sounding obsessive, then go sign like Marco Bellinelli after he gets bought out to sort of replace that 3-point shooting or whomever to do that. But that might be the sort of deal there. But I don't think that they'd move him for just anything. It would have to knock Pat Riley's socks off. And I think it would take like a late lottery pick, honestly. And I don't think any team would be willing to part with a late lottery pick.
No, not for
Wayne Ellington. I just don't see that happening. But I think that might be what it takes to get Wayne Ellington, which is insane.
You know, given his history as a journeyman and the fact that he only kind of seemed to thrive here in Miami for the very first time, look, he's not a negative defender. He tries very hard. He's shown some flashes, however limited they may be, as being a playmaker. I wonder if there might be concerns around the league that would lower his value, that they might not be able to maximize him the way Miami has. I know they could probably
100%.
Make – You think there are, you think the other teams would look at that and say, you know what, we're just not going to be able to run the same sets for him where he curls off screens the way he does in Miami in order to get him going. And maybe they see his value being diminished as a result.
I think you're spot on with that. Because I don't think a lot of other teams, like Cleveland, for example, let's say Cleveland wanted Wayne Ellington, they wouldn't run the sets that.
Oh, hell no.
Like they've got like a load, like the only team that would trade. It's also weird because I say like a late lotto pick is what it would take. None of the teams that would make a Wayne Ellington trade are in the lottery. You know what I mean? Like the teams that need Wayne Ellington this year on expiring deal are the teams that are going to be competing. So unless there's, you know, a first round pick or something like that that they can get, I just don't see them using Wayne Ellington the same way that the Heat do, because the Heat, like, that's their shooter, Wayne Ellington. That's it. Contending teams have more shooters. Let's move on to the next one. The second, I think, most valuable asset here is Goran Dragic. He plays a position of value at point guard at a relatively bargain contract of $16, $17 million. And he's well-liked around the league. And he's a borderline all-star this year. I think he's Miami's second best asset. If the Heat wanted to move him, they could probably get quite a bit for him. I should also mention he's locked into his contract for this season and then two more seasons. Not something you could say about Kemba Walker. Not something you could say a lot about all-star type players who are usually moved. So you've got that security.
I disagree with Dragic being ranked as high.
You who? Okay. Why?
I think as much as I love Goran's ability and game and overall attitude and everything else, I think we saw when he was first acquired by Miami 3 seasons ago, when he was a little bit younger, perhaps a little bit healthier, that he had some struggles adjusting, and maybe that was because it was alongside a superstar like Dwayne Wade, even an aging one, and you know, as Wade was back in 2014 or 2015 when he signed or when they traded him for him. But either way, like, I don't know if a player like Dragic could go into a situation. Again, if you're going to want a guy like Dragic, it's probably going to be another contending team that has, for whatever reason, a glaring deficiency at the point guard position. I wonder if you bring in a guy like Dragic and he's going to be able to fit alongside there. Like, again, let's just assume Cleveland. You know, Cleveland has a hole at point guard. Isaiah Thomas hasn't paid off. He might not ever be healthy again. He might not be healthy again this season. As good as Dwayne Wade's been in on the second unit, they could use a starting caliber point guard. If for whatever reason they were interested in Goran Dragic, could he play alongside a guy like LeBron James? I think he's been more willing to adapt into a catch and shoot player as far as his perimeter scoring is concerned. But the strength of Goran's game is still bringing the ball up court and controlling the tempo. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that on a superstar laden team.
You make a good point. It's going to depend on the team, right? I could see like somebody like Utah or Denver wanting to make a move for Goran and trying to incorporate, because like you said, I mean, there are struggles there when you first get onto a team, especially if you play point guard, you're handling the ball as much. There's a lot of chemistry issues and systematic things that you got to kind of pound through. But maybe if you're Utah and you say, look, obviously this Rubio thing's not working out, and they could ship Rubio off for something else, because the Heat wouldn't take Rubio. I don't think they're going to deal with that contract, but you could get Dragic if you're Utah. I think that makes sense. Or Denver decide, like, hey, we want Jamal Murray to play off guard. Yeah, maybe now, something now like because, that.
Yeah, because those, I think, are moves made more towards their future, right?
Yes, specific situations. But I don't think a contender right now is going to make a move for Dragic. I think it might be a rebuilding team. Does Charlotte want to say, look, Kemba's not coming back, he's gone after next year, but we can lock Goran Dragic in for an additional 2 years? And plus some other stuff, whatever it takes, like maybe something like that. I think Goran's got value for the right team, but who do you think is up there in value for the Heat's assets?
Strangely enough, I would say it's actually Hassan Whiteside. Okay. I think a team looking to make a deal now at the trade deadline is probably one looking to make something. Either it's because a superstar player in Whiteside doesn't fit that category, is disgruntled, and they think they can pry him off of a team the way Miami pried Goran Dragic from Phoenix a couple seasons ago, or because he fits an immediate need in a glaring hole. And I think rim protection being as you know, highly premiumed as it is around the league, a guy like Whiteside provides that, and he could be that missing piece. We're already seeing talk that other elite level rim protectors like, you know, DeAndre Jordan might be highly sought after during the trade deadline. A guy like Whiteside is probably 1B to DeAndre Jordan's 1A. So I could see him being, I think, the second best asset.
And then some value that a guy like DeAndre Jordan doesn't have, and that he's locked in. You're not going to lose Hassan Whiteside if you trade for him. I think for the right team, Whiteside has more value than DeAndre Jordan does, because if you're a team that doesn't believe that you can re-sign DeAndre Jordan, you're not going to trade for him, but you might trade for Whiteside, you know, if you really value that rim protection. I think Bam Adebayo, to a certain respect too, is pretty valuable. He's starting to get a lot of love around the league. I know Zach Lowe tweeted about him earlier today.
I did see that. What did he say?
He said that him and John Collins are like tied for his most loved mid first round pick this year.
Nice.
Just to watch. And I know like a lot of people have been liking what they've been seeing from Bam. Obviously, he's in the first year of a rookie scale deal. Super athletic. Big upside there. Been really impressive with the Heat in an expanded role as the season goes on. I think the Heat, if they, for whatever reason, I don't think they would, but if they wanted to sell Bam, like he could get a lot of value in return. They don't have a first-round pick to trade. Bam Adebayo is their first-round pick to trade. He's obviously very young, and if they needed to attach a first-round pick in a deal, Bam would basically replace the first-round pick and be just as valuable, if not more valuable, I think, if a team really also liked Bam. Just to go through some of these other guys, Kelly Olynyk, James Johnson. I think they're sort of in the same boat there as, okay, if it makes sense for the right team, I could see somebody maybe taking on that money, but probably doesn't want to take on that much money. Those guys, you're probably going to have to attach, I don't know, a Winslow or a Bam to those guys to maybe upgrade those positions. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the guys that are basically untouchable at this point, Deion Waiters, because of that injury, I don't think anybody's going to take him back. He's got, after this year, 3 more years at $11 million. Plus that bonus that's in there if he plays the 70 games. Because of his injury, I just don't see anybody taking him at this deadline. If Deion is ever moved, it won't be at this deadline. And then Tyler Johnson, he's making $19 million next year. I don't see any way where he's moved. I don't see any way where a team takes on that money, especially as injured as he's been this season.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. It's a tough decision between Tyler or Deion for the worst tradable asset there, to be honest with you. But
they're both untouchable, huh?
I think so.
At this point, like they're both going to finish the season on the Heat. So
yeah.
Should be mentioned, Heat cannot trade Josh Richardson. That's why he's not on this list until this summer, because he signed an extension. So Josh Richardson, if he were trade eligible, like let's fast forward to the summer. Everybody's still here. Is he number one on this list? I think absolutely.
No, because I think the size of the extension makes it a little less likely that, I mean, you're paying superstar type money for a guy like that, and I don't know.
No, you're not. $12 million.
How much is he getting paid?
$12 million a year
for the next 4 years.
Well, ish on average. Next year it's only 9.5.
Yeah.
No, I'd say it's still Ellington.
I'd say it's still Ellington, to be honest with you.
Well, Ellington is on an expiring contract, so it's kind of a weird question. But like Ellington doesn't count because he's going to be a free agent. So like this summer, Josh Richardson, I think, would be Miami's best asset.
Okay, that's fair.
Of the guys who will be under contract this summer. But he can't be traded by February 8th because of that extension. And then everybody else on the roster, O'Kara White, Rodney McGruder, those would just be filler, so we didn't bother with them. And we should mention an untouchable. Udonis Haslam's not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine, right? Like at this point, he's already he's adjusted to it. He knows he's not playing. I think he's comfortable.
I think Adam Silver would shut it down. I think he'd be like, "No, you're not doing that." Like, there's just no. That doesn't make sense. Like,
I'd like to see Nick Collison and Udonis Haslam traded to like Phoenix or something like that for the worst team in the league.
And then just like completely revamp the culture there. That'd be great.
That would, but it seems highly unlikely. They already
and when you say you'd like to see that, you would absolutely hate to see that. Oh, really, like, tongue in cheek.
Yes,
I just want. I'm trying to save your mentions here.
Thank you.
All right, we're gonna talk about who on the Heat is most likely and least likely to get traded. But first, quick reminder: make sure that you're subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. And remember, you can listen to us now on Spotify. That's right, listen to us on the go between your Ty Dolla Sign or Young Thug or the new Drake, Scary Hours. Instead of listening to that, listen to Locked On Heat. Also, make sure to leave us a review on iTunes. It helps other Heat fans discover the show. Heat fans like Real Bad Car, who says, "I absolutely love listening to this podcast. I find it informative and very engaging conversation about my favorite team, the Heat. Keep up the great work, guys." And then four thumbs up emojis. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right. The least likely and most likely players to get traded. Should we start with least or most? I'll let you decide. Dealer's choice.
I think least likely has already been fairly established, right?
Tyler Johnson and Deion.
Yeah.
All right. So the most. Okay. Good point. So who's the most likely player if we're going to kind of go through here to get moved?
You have an answer for this? I honestly think that if you're going to make a move right now, the player you're most willing to trade, at least from the Heat's perspective, not mine, would be Hassan Whiteside. I really think that that would be the.
I agree with you.
I think. Which is strange because he's clearly the centerpiece of the defense, you know, as far as what they do defensively. But I think you have questions about what he does in the fourth quarter defensively, whether or not he can continue playing those moments. For as much as you like those first quarter showing against the Houston Rockets, you wonder what that's going to be, something that you find consistently out of Hassan Whiteside, if you're going to find in clutch moments late in games. I don't know that he's going to be able to provide that, so I don't know what role he fits here necessarily. And I think if you're going to look to move him, you do that right away so that you can get something back in return and give an opportunity to younger players that that might be able to take over the mantle.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of other reasons here, just not only in regards to his value, but like, you know, there's obviously, like you just said, the players that there's a clear line of succession there, right? Like if Whiteside leaves, you start Bam or Kelly and James Johnson. Like you've got options to sort of replace Whiteside in some respect. He holds enough value to the right team that values that sort of rim protection, like we talked about already on the show. And there's that other layer that you're accomplishing there of getting rid of that big contract. And again, the Heat aren't going to pay the luxury tax next year. They're going to figure out a way not to. And with the roster currently constructed the way it is, they are going to. There's no way around it. Like, they are going to, if they keep this roster intact, even if you lose Wayne Ellington, and you keep this roster intact and fill it out with three minimum contract players, they will be paying the luxury tax. There, something's got to give. And if you want to just take one big chunk out of it, you could trade one big contract, and that's Whiteside, and you've got those guys behind him to sort of replace them. It makes sense. And there might be teams out there calling the Heat about Whiteside and saying, look, we need rim protection. You know, there are plenty of teams that are struggling defensively, like badly, who could use a guy like Whiteside to kind of shore up that defense. I think he is the most likely to get traded. I think Ellington is up there. We got to discuss it. Like I said, if there's a deal out there that knocks Pat Riley's socks off and he says, look, we're not bringing this guy back anyway. Let's go for it. Ultimately, I think Ellington finishes the season on the Heat just because I think the value of him just being on the Heat and the Heat competing with Ellington is more worth it to Riley than trading him for a draft pick that we know that he doesn't really care about anyway. And then, of course, you could try to maybe over the summer figure out a way to trade somebody and keep with Ellington.
And
it should be worth mentioning Justice Winslow. He's been talked about a lot as somebody that other teams might want to come and get.
Yes.
And I don't think the Heat are ready to give up on Winslow. I just don't think they're there yet. I don't think that they're going to move him just to move him. I don't think he's Stanley Johnson for Detroit. I think that the Heat, if it comes to the...
Which is funny you should mention it, because some people actually think of Stanley Johnson as a better prospect than Justice Winslow.
Okay.
I've seen enough people out there. I think they mentioned it.
They're wrong.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's beauty is in the eye of the beholder, obviously. I have Winslow as the second most likely trade asset, to be honest with you. Just because I think... If you're looking at Miami's perspective, he doesn't necessarily fit a huge need here, like this season.
That's true.
You know, if you're willing to part with a guy like Whiteside because you're questioning what his role might be moving forward, a guy like Winslow doesn't necessarily fit any role here. Like, he's going to provide some solid perimeter defense. That's great. So does five other players on this roster. He's going to provide occasional shooting. Sure, that's fine. Not necessarily good enough to keep him on the roster for that. You hold on to Wayne Ellington. So for a guy like Winslow, you say, well, you know what? I don't have a place for him here. So why not try to move him for a possible second round draft pick, maybe another, you know, similar contract, maybe a trading of assets like that, and say, you know what? Maybe he'll thrive somewhere else. But I think it's run its course as far as his stint in Miami. So
if the Heat trade him for a second round pick, I will flip my table over. I would be livid. I just think he's got, maybe I'm projecting here, he's got so much more to give and to prove. There's injury concerns there, obviously. There's role concerns. What kind of role does he play in today's NBA? He's played everywhere between backup point guard, backup power forward, starting power forward, backup small forward this season, now currently playing that backup small forward role. I think the Heat want to see more from him, and I think they'd lump him into a bigger deal. Like, I'm not saying they wouldn't,
but they absolutely would
lump him into a bigger deal. But it does, you do bring up a good point. He's not filling a need here. Like, they're almost, him being on the Heat right now is almost a detriment to him.
Yeah.
Like, if he were on a team that had a bigger need for him, he might be performing better. But at the same time, would the Heat say, look, we're not making the most use out of this guy? His value is cratering because we can't figure out how to use him. Do we trade him for a first round pick? And it's not going to be the 10th pick in the draft, but maybe it's the 20th pick in the draft. And do we do that just to kind of kick this can down the road of having young prospects? And maybe we take somebody at 20 that fills a need for us. Or we use that first round pick to add into a trade later on. I don't know. It's an interesting option there.
Can you think of any team where he might be plugged in this year and thrive somehow?
Cleveland.
As a role player off the bench?
Yeah, for his defense. I mean, I'd take Justice Winslow over Jeff Green in a heartbeat. Like, I would take...
Would he even supplant Jay Crowder, perhaps?
Jay Crowder's not been good for him. Justice Winslow's still an elite perimeter defender and can body up dudes in the paint. I think a team like Cleveland could really use him, just like a really instinctual defender that they don't have. Like, Cleveland's best switch is if dudes just play super hard, but they don't have anybody that's just going to have the instincts that Justice Winslow has on that end. I think a team like Golden State would like Justice Winslow, and they'd figure out how to use him. I think there's a lot of teams, I think, could use him. I think
I'm struggling to find anything. Like, I mean, he you know, obviously Boston, they have a glut of, like, wing players there, so I don't know that he's necessarily a good fit. As much as they wanted him a couple seasons ago or were willing to trade the world for him, maybe Orlando?
Philadelphia,
maybe?
Yeah. Philly, they could use that perimeter defender, that lockdown guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Philly seems like a good spot for Winslow. Winslow and Waiters? We're going to get to that in part 2. Mm-hmm. We should probably wrap this up.
Nice tease.
Well, we are going to talk about those fake trades. So this was part one. Obviously, we set the table for set the mood, created some ambient lighting, because in part two we're gonna get freaky with some fake trades.
Nice.
How's that sound? That's gonna be coming up. It's a little scary. We're gonna come back tomorrow with our fake trade-a-palooza, but that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. Make sure you check us out on Spotify. You could send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.